Today's recording is dedicated l'zchus in honor of Jordana Schutz, Yardena Bat Shlomo, with much blessing for her continued success in all things physical and spiritual, with friendship, etc., etc., by Moshe Novikov. Victor Hugo wrote in Les Miserables, "The supreme happiness of life is the conviction that one is loved. Loved for one's own sake. Let us say rather, loved in spite of oneself. Indeed, there's no greater achievement in life, as Nat King Cole and Sinatra and Bowie and many others taught us, that the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return." But Hugo is telling us a deeper chiddush, a deeper idea, that the greatest thing is not just to be loved, but to be loved in spite of oneself. Not just to be loved for oneself, but even deeper in spite of oneself. That's the supreme happiness of life. And this conviction that brings the supreme happiness of life, the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains, we need to have this conviction from what's being taught in this week's parsha, in this week's Torah reading. The fact that when the tabernacle is completed, it must consist of various types of materials. First and foremost, as the Torah says, gold, silver, and copper. And as the Rebbe brings from Kabbalah, that these three types of materials, gold, silver, and copper, speak about three different types of Jews, three different levels of people, the completely righteous, intermediary, regular people, and those that are defying gravity and are considered officially wicked, negative. I guess we would say people that don't have all their ducks in a row, which is probably most of us. And the Rebbe says that God is teaching that to make a home for Him, to make a home for God, it's not enough to have just gold. It's not enough to have silver. There has to be copper, nechoshes. And of course, nechoshes, copper, the Hebrew word for copper, nechoshes, has in it the root nechosh, which means the snake. Which means those of us that many points of our lives live in a way that seem to come from the realm of the snake, which is the quintessential example of one who's through accepting limits because someone says they're so, and that's continuing to defy gravity and can't be pulled down. Those type of copper Jews, God says He can't have a home without those Jews also. Because God loves all of us, not just for ourselves, but in spite of ourselves. And the truth is, we all know that that's why the Hebrew word for congregation, tzibor, is actually an acronym that stands for tzadikim beinonim v'rishoyim, the completely righteous, those that are always doing great, the regular mediocre people, and then rishoyim, the wicked. We're all part of one congregation. And as the Rebbe says, that's why the name of this parsha where the tabernacle is constructed is Vayakhel, a kahal. A real kahal is not just a group of people that happen to be together in one place. A real kahal, a real congregation, a real nation is not even a group of people that have a common goal. A real kahal is when you have people that are one entity. That they're only a true entity when they're all together. And Hashem is saying that He could only have a home when all different types of people are together. There's no such thing really in the deepest way in levels. In the place of infinity, there can't be levels. There's just multiplicity and diversity. And it's only there where God's presence can dwell. Only that could be a home for God. But the truth, it's much, much deeper than that, because you understand that these different types of Jews, different types of people, are not just types of people in the nation. We, within each and every one of ourselves, have these different types of people. You see, what Kabbalah teaches, and the great psychologist Carl Jung explained his whole concept of the archetypes that also comes from Kabbalah, is that inside all of us, beyond the reach of our consciousness, the vast, powerful, mysterious world of many different psychic forces, archetypes, many faces and workings and foundations of the soul beyond what we're aware of at any given time. Beyond the ego, beyond the human being as an I, there's powerful psychic forces, primordial and mysterious, that have completely different patterns and structures of archetypes of personalities. Or in very simple English, as the holy Hasidic works teach, you know the four sons in the Haggadah, the four sons in the Passover Seder, all four of them are within us. We all have inside of us a collective unconscious. We all have inside of us a kahal, a congregation. And it's only when we can make peace with that congregation can we ourselves be at peace. All psychological systems explain that neuroses come from denying different parts of who we are, not allowing certain archetypes to be able to manifest within us. Internal family systems, there are many models that explain that health means being able to make a vayakhel, to make a congregation, to love all the different part of ourselves and accept them. And realize that they all need a place and have a place in building a tabernacle for God in our lives and in the world. There has to be an organic unity of the seemingly incompatible moments of ourselves. We have to heal what seems to be a binary dialectic of existence within ourselves. And even those part of ourselves that seem to be like a desert, we have to know those are other opportunities to connect to God from and through those ways of being. We need to know, we have to have the conviction, the supreme happiness of life, that God loves all of us, not just for ourselves, but in spite of ourselves. Even the copper, the nachash, the snake parts of ourselves. There are also opportunities to connect to God, no matter how much we feel we're in a desert, we're snake-like. That's another opportunity to connect to God, another way to find God even from that state. You know, I always say that any beautiful love poetry is essentially a parable for the love of God and us. And there's a beautiful contemporary poem written by a poet named Perry that talks about a lover that has waited for 1,000 years and is willing to love the lover for 1,000 more. Heart beats fast. How can I love when I'm afraid to fall? Time stands still, beauty in all she is. I will be brave. I will not let anything take away what's standing in front of me. Every breath, every hour has come to this. One step closer. Because you see, when a person waits their entire life to be loved in spite of themselves, they're scared, scared of falling, scared of letting their walls come down, scared of being hurt. And you just want to reassure them that you've waited patiently for them and you would never do anything to hurt them, and you'll continue to be patient with them, even if it takes another 1,000 years. And that's how God feels about us. Because just as Hegel wrote, when a tree gives forth buds that give forth blossoms, that give forth flowers, that give forth fruits, these are all one organic totality of the tree. God knows that the different archetypes and parts of who we are all the organic totality of who we are. And God loves us for ourselves, in spite of ourselves. The vayakhel of who we are individually and nationally is God's home. So let's hear God saying to us, darlings, don't be afraid, and know that we have the supreme happiness of life.